Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Rolling.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Nima Vedati.
What's up, Michael Dean?
Not a lot.
You chilling?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Chilling. Chilling like a villain.
Chilling like a villain. Are you thinking about freedom?
Yeah. Trying. Trying, but it's hard with people like Ted Nugent and Barack Obama in the world who think they're mortal enemies, but really they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Statism.
Two sides of the same dirty coin made out of some metal that isn't worth anything.
So talk about Ted Nugent and what he did.
Apparently he endorsed Romney and said that, we're going to ride into town and chop off all their heads in reference to the Democrats, and that if President Obama gets elected, then Ted Nugent said, I'll either be in dead or in jail.
In dead?
In dead, yes, in dead. So he's going to go into the death.
Well, he's a Christian, so that'd just be sending him home, you know?
There you go, yeah. Let's kill Ted Nugent and see if God sorts it out the way he thought.
Let's not say that. Because, you know, they'll come and throw us in prison for saying that, and we're joking. And he's probably speaking figuratively about the election, not about actually riding in Sharian style and chopping off heads on a horse or a camel, but which he'd hate. But, if he got a knock at his door from the feds, they'd all feel bad about it and ask for autographs. With you and me, they'd just drone us.
They would just drone us. Yeah. Here's the thing about Ted Nugent, though, is, you know, he's a pretty good musician. He's funny. He's witty. He's good at talking. I just don't get how you can have any level of intelligence and be such a statist. Like, why does he want to force people to do things so badly? What's his insecurity that forces him to be that way?
Well, he's always been anti-drug, which was the first kind of weird thing about him, because it was before he got political back in the 70s, he was anti-drug when he was like had a number one record among people who sat around and did nothing but take drugs all day.
Right.
I think part of it is he gave an interview in this magazine called Crawdaddy, which was a big rock magazine in the 70s, and bragged about how he got out of the draft, how he got out of going to Vietnam. Mm. Which we've discussed. He said he basically crapped his pants for 3 weeks.
That's right.
but, you know, then it turned out like a lot of his fans, once he got older and his fans got older, a lot of his fans were, you know, NRA type Republicans.
Right.
So he had to do something to backpedal, which, you know, I think he probably thinks he did organically. I don't think he thought he was lying. I think he, I don't know, because he got, you know what I think a lot of times it is with people in positions of
Their reputation or their persona sort of precedes them, so they start to buy their own BS.
Yeah, I think it's they say something and, you know, it goes viral somehow, either from the internet or before the internet through the news or magazines or something.
Right.
And they get a lot of attention both ways from it and go, okay, and it kind of subtly hones their how they think.
Right. Maybe even more than subtly. Maybe they just sort of, some people at least, attach to their identity and start trying to. It's almost like a fiction in their head. They're like playing a character.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, Ted Nugent without the politics would be an old, really has been rocker. But he's, you know, a guy who's interviewed constantly on mainstream news,
yeah.
If you can call Fox that. And, you know, And like, he's on the board of directors of the NRA. I mean, that's a position of people are paying attention to you.
Mm, that's very true. So
the NRA backed Romney, and he supported the assault weapons ban. I can't believe the NRA, man. They've sunk to new lows.
Did the NRA back Romney? So it's just something everybody's doing now, huh? I've sort of been out of the mainstream loop for the past week and a half. And I hadn't read about all these. So everybody's kind of saying Romney's it now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Newt, nobody likes Newt. And Ron Paul, you know, they're kind of like, I think a lot of Republicans would rather have Obama get a second term than talk about Ron Paul's existence.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think that's definitely the big push now then. It seems to me, at least, that everybody's making sure they endorse Romney now so that Ron Paul's not even a question, not even discussed or mentioned.
Yeah. You know what I don't understand about rednecks?
Probably a lot of things, I would imagine.
Well, I live amongst them now. I'm living a sociological experiment.
One of us.
You know what that's from, right?
I know it's from The Simpsons, but it's probably something before that, too.
It's from a movie from the 1930s called Freaks, which is about circus freaks.
Oh, okay.
And the Ramones did something with it in the 70s. But rednecks, who, you know, the main thing that comes out of their mouth most of the time is, you know, we got to go over and blow up them brown people because they knocked down the Twin Towers. Yep. And it's like, pre-9/11, all those rednecks, or most rednecks I ever met, would never back anything about New York City. It was like, New York City was a different country, you know? It's kind of a cliche, but there's that salsa ad where it's like, where's this salsa from? New York City, get the rope. Like, the Cowboys are going to hang the guy because he's from New York City. Yeah. That's really how
it
was.
Or Hank Williams Jr. saying, send me to hell or New York City, it'll be about the same to me.
Yeah. Or, you know, Hank Hill finding out he was born in the women's room at Yankee Stadium instead of Texas and vomiting.
Right.
But, I mean, that's all media and comedy and jokes and stuff, but it's based on reality. I mean, pre-9/11... rednecks friggin' hated New York City. They also hated Jews, which was, you know, now they're all like, Israel, we gotta protect Israel, you know?
That's true, yeah. Now to a lot of rednecks, Israel is like as important to them as America or more. You know, especially the ones who follow people like John Hagee, which I know some people in my family who do that, and it kind of disgusts me.
Wait, you have people in your...
Obviously not in the Persian side of the family, Michael. No, my mom has a redneck side of the family. I mean, she was born in Pasadena, Texas, and her dad remarried after she was born to a WASPish type person, and they've got people in their family that are like that.
Yeah, your mom wears cowboy boots and carries a 1911.
Did she get a 1911? I thought she had a Smith &
Wesson. Your mama wears cowboy boots and carries a .45.
Hell yeah, she does. Don't talk shit to her because she'll cap you.
Oh, I know. I've talked to your mother many times with you in the room. And you go out of the room and we start talking about sex.
Yeah, or you talk about sex with my mom because you think she's somebody you had sex with before.
I know, which is too much information. Speaking of, what was your morning routine this morning? You said you masturbated.
No, I did not masturbate. No. And you asked me if I did, and I said no because I'm saving my seed for other uses.
How Christian.
Well, it's not from a Christian point of view.
You having some Republican sex? So you're trying to procreate.
Trying to procreate, yeah.
You're trying to spit out a little blob of protoplasm that looks like you and your wife. And you can mold in your image.
No, I'm going to let it mold itself in its own image. I just hope it's going to be a bad ass image. Can I say ass? Does that count?
Yeah, no. Yeah. You can say anything you can say on Fox at 7 p.m. here.
Okay.
Because that's what we're aiming for, is we're aiming for Judge Napolitano's slot.
Got it, I see. So yeah, basically to keep my skeet shooter completely full, the idea is when you have the procreation sex, you got to wait 2 to 3 days in between. You know, let your boys get their
strength.
Yours
is a skeet shooter, mine's a rifle. Mine's like a laser.
Is it now?
Although, that's a kind of sexy idea of the skeet shooting. It's kind of like going everywhere.
Exactly, yeah. Well, plus it's a rap thing, you know. So we all skeet.
Skeet. What does that mean?
Skeet means, you know, blow a load, shoot a load. Skeet shoot.
Ah. Yeah. I wonder how many
listeners we lost just there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably a lot.
Yep.
It was funny because we were talking about not cussing, and then we talk about semen for like, what, 2-3 minutes?
I know. Well, it's a medical discussion.
There you go.
I don't know if we want to get into as much detail as we got in our pregame show, but it's a good thing. There's going to be another fiend in the world at some point.
Another fiend. Another freedom lover. Yeah. Although, isn't it a scary thought as a freedom lover to think that your kid will grow up to be a statist?
Well, it's a scary thought to me, the idea of having a kid in this world, but I've thought that my whole life, even when I had a kid.
Yeah.
But the thing I get great satisfaction out of is the thought of people who believe in alternative methods of parenting, such as you and me, of when they actually have one and
realize, you know, how hard it is.
I want to see you apply the non-aggression principle at 4 a.m. when your kid's screaming in your ear and won't go to sleep and wants to play.
Well, see, that's the other way I think of it. I think of it as the ultimate test, like when it comes to this kind of stuff and practicing what I preach and stuff. Because it's going to be hard, man, not to send my kid to a public school. I mean, have to organize all that myself, still get the state taking my money and to pay for the public school that I'm not sending my kid to.
What a racket.
Ugh. It's just awful, man. And I feel like it more and more and more. Even small things like sales tax, which I realized isn't really small. Like, I make, on average, between me and my wife, we do, what, 3 to 4, monetary transactions a day. Buying lunch, picking up something from the store, running an errand. And literally, every time you buy something, it's like at least $2-3, you know, for sales tax. And I like look at the price when they first ring me up. I'm like, oh, $16. Yeah, that's not bad. And then they hit the final button. It's like almost $20. And I'm like, what the? And it just adds up just thinking. And then thinking about where this money is going to pay bureaucrats that get paid more than me and are sitting there laughing on their fat butts playing solitaire and deciding what to do with my life.
Looking at porn and getting $20 muffins in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Well, I guess sales tax goes to more low-key bureaucrats, but fat, slovenly bureaucrats nonetheless.
Well, I'm really intrigued because I got to watch my sister, who was a hippie, never spanked the kid, which I don't believe in spanking kids, but I'm always intrigued when, from her example of like, of what do you do when the kid turns 15 and absolutely won't do what you say, I'm kind of like, although her kid kind of got through that and he's 17 or 18 now and leading a life that's much more pleasant to them, but it involved having to send him to other nations for schools.
Other nations? Huh, like Easter Island?
South America. I don't know.
Venezuela.
Somewhere they could beat them. No, I'm kidding. Some alternative. He went to some alternative school in where is it that the president just had a bunch of prostitutes?
Everywhere.
No. What country was that?
I don't know.
You didn't hear about this?
Like I said, I've been out of the loop for the past week and a half or so.
The president fired all his Secret Service because they were caught in a prostitution scandal in South America.
Awesome.
And it all came down to that one of them refused to pay for the prostitute. Of course, you know. I'm for the government. I don't have to pay.
Is that so? So it was a confrontation between him and the prostitute because he didn't want to pay.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. It was in God. What's the country? I don't even know. I can't look it up right now.
I can look it up. Let's see.
Just put Obama and prostitutes, and it'll come up.
Obama and prostitutes.
But whatever the country is, that's where my nephew got sent to some school that straightened him around.
Let's see.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
Secret Service prostitution scandal roils DC. So was it here?
No. Okay, I'm not going to spend the whole cast looking for the country because it doesn't really matter. Okay. Can you find it?
I could not find it, but I did find Secret Service prostitution scandal, Royals DC, so apparently something is happening
here. Well, click on the link and look at it. Anyway, so whatever country it is, the prostitution's legal there, and Obama was down there, and his 12 of his Secret Service people and 12 of the special forces that were guarding him all went to some hotel and legally bought prostitutes, and one of them refused to pay his $46 bill, and the police were called.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, like, that and this thing where they had that, you know, the organization for the government that's supposed to be responsible for saving money was in Las Vegas spending tons of money
and bragging about it. There was a YouTube video where a guy was like talking about how he wasn't going to get investigated. It was disgusting.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, that stuff is moot. It's nothing. You know, it's what about all the cops killing people? What about Obama killing people? Yeah, what about all the drones killing
the
people?
The cruise missiles. The thing that really roils me is they spend all this stolen money on ways to keep stealing money from us, which is just obvious.
Roils me? It's riles me, isn't it? I like roils me. Because we can turn that into a curse.
There you go. Okay. It can roil me. Yeah. It can do whatever it wants to me. No, it can't. Because I get really PO'd when they do stuff like this. And the thing about it is they're just increasing. It's almost exponential. I mean, they got that giant center they're going to have in Utah where they're basically going to
The Fiends Listening Center? Yeah.
Well, they're going to be listening to a lot more than Fiends. I mean...
Yeah, but you know somebody's job is going to be to sit there and listen to the LRN feed 24/7.
Oh, yeah, probably. Although I think the risk is, of course, they'll be convinced.
I still go back to that, like, rednecks in 911 in New York City, 9/11 in New York City. It's like, what kind of rebranding did the media do to make rednecks say, "You killed my New York City"?
Well, I mean...
It kind of reminds me of, like... One of those stories you read about where there's, like, the parent who doesn't see the kid for years and abandons the kid and gives him up for adoption or gets him taken away or, you know, just isn't a good parent in some way. Not saying taken away always means that, but, you know, some parent who doesn't give a crap about their kid and then the kid is a victim of something and all of a sudden the parent is weeping on all the talk shows.
Yeah.
That's kind of the rednecks in America and New York City.
Well, I mean, don't you remember after 9/11 how crazy it was and how everybody, you know, rallied around the flag and
I sang put an
songs.
American flag in my car for about 2 weeks in L.A. because I thought I was going to get pulled out of my car and killed otherwise. And that was not an unreasonable belief at that point.
Yeah. I mean, things were pretty weird. And I guess that sort of, as Justin Raimondo likes to say, it knocked Earth off its axis and into a bizarro world. Which is where we're at now. So, yeah, maybe that's another example of it. Rednecks used to hate New York and Jews, and now they love New York and Israel.
Yep. So, I thought of something that would probably sort of sound like a sovereign citizen court argument of magic words, but I'd like to see someone try this. I came across this phrase called an illusory promise, which is a legal term for a contract that a court will not enforce because it offers nothing. An example would be, you know, if I said to you, I'm going to give you $20 if I feel like it.
Mm.
That's not a contract. It's not a promise. There's no tit for tat.
Right.
You know, contracts generally require some kind of remuneration for something.
Right. Or if you say to somebody, yeah, well, I'll do that. Or I might do that if you do this for me. Yeah, that's something I might do.
I came to the conclusion, my reading of it, the state and the social contract are illegal, unenforceable contracts since the terms and conditions, the laws and taxes, can change at any time. That makes them an illusory promise. The term illusory promise is also used to defeat a lot of end user agreements, like stuff you click on the internet. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll put in the phrase, terms and conditions of this contract can change at any time, which, you know, basically means you're signing a contract to be determined later, which is not a legal contract. So I would argue, other than the fact that the state and the social contract are unenforceable because you didn't sign them. But if they're going to say, okay, well, you signed them and that's a given, I would say they're still unenforceable because the terms and conditions, meaning the laws and taxes, can change at any time. So the social contract is an illusory promise.
Hell yeah, it is. That's a really good point. You think of that yourself?
Awesome. Yep, falling down wormholes on Wikipedia. I was looking at contract law, and I think someone should try that in court.
I don't think it'll work in court, because the thing is,
it won't. But
the point about you didn't sign it, to me, is way stronger. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, if you take something to an arbitrator in LibPair and say, "Well, I didn't sign the contract," they're gonna be like, "Okay, there was no contract, then that's out."
Right.
But if you,
but I think it would be interesting in society as to make a
yes,
point. You know, someone
yes.
who's got a lot of money and time on their hands and wants to hire some lawyers that are cool. You know, I don't think it would work being your own lawyer, but if you got a lawyer to actually argue this,
right,
it'd be interesting.
I think it'd be interesting. And then again, yeah. it would get people to think outside of the paradigm, you know, in another way. Because some people might not buy that, well, you didn't sign it contract. They'd be like, well, you were born here. You were raised here. It wasn't your fault, but you grew up in our public schools driving on our roads. So you tacitly approve of the social contract. And if you don't like it, get
out. My argument would be taking it from a point of, well, okay, let's pretend that's true for a minute. That you're born into it, that even so, it's an illusory promise
exactly.
because it can change constantly.
Yep.
You know, basically, what I think this would say would be you're only obligated to obey the laws and pay the taxes that existed the day you were born.
It should work, to where every time they change a law, they have to, you know, and even software companies do this with their end user agreements. Whenever they do a software update, they occasionally make you, you know, sign the
yeah,
thing again.
Yeah.
What if the state, every time they wrote a new law or new regulation, had to all come to us for approval? Letters.
I got something interesting that was voluntary the other day that I'm wondering how long it'll stay voluntary. I'm going to play this this robocall I got right now.
Toronto County Emergency Management Agency with an important non-emergency message for all residents and businesses located in the Toronto County. We've licensed Code Red Community Notification System to help disseminate important or critical information. We encourage all residents and businesses to go to www.natrona.net. Click on the Code Red logo located in the lower right-hand corner of that page and enter their contact information, including additional phone numbers and text and email addresses, to ensure all of the data in our system is accurate and current. If you know of anyone who did not receive this call who lives in Natrona County, please encourage them to visit our website and enter their information. If they or you do not have internet access, please contact a friend or family member to help add your contact information to the emergency database. Or you can also call us directly at...
So what'd you think of that, Nima?
Man, that's creepy. So they just called everyone in town and are asking them for info?
Yeah, they're asking for, you know, not just... They're asking for your cell phone number, your home number, your email. You know, I went to this website. It's like... And they're like, if you know someone without internet access, you know, hook them up. Do this for them. And I'm not going to do it.
How's that going to go over? Knocking on your 80-year-old neighbor's door and being like, hey, yeah, the government called me. They say they want me to get all of your information.
Well, it could go, you know, well, you know best, honey. Or it could go like, no, computers are the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Depends which neighbor I talk to.
Right.
I'm not going to sign up to it, but I'm wondering how long this will be voluntary. Because it's from the sheriff's department, but I did some digging around, and it's it seems to point to it's financed by DHS, Department of Homeland Security.
So that's the same sheriff that told me I couldn't open carry?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm thinking, like, I'm wondering when it's going to get to the point where, like, well, you know, if you want to have water and power to your house, you're going to have to sign up for this.
Yeah.
Or if you want your garbage taken away, yeah.
I can see that. The government always sort of soft holds all those things over our heads as hostage. You know, the fact that they do control the water and the streets and all that. And you'll notice whenever something, as far as budget cuts goes, those are the kinds of things. They always try to take away the things people see the most, you know, like park access.
Yeah.
They'll try to cut those first so people will get, hey, what's going on here? But maybe eventually in the future they're going to start moving towards that. Like, you must follow this regulation or else we'll cut off your water. Or we can't contract you with electricity, you know.
Another creepy local one I saw was the Casper City Council, who we've talked about before, who are in for like 2-year periods, you know, and then they're voted in or voted out or whatever. They've hired a consultant to help formulate a 20-year agenda for the city. those people aren't even going to live here in 20 years. Most of them are out-of-state carpetbaggers, yeah. You know? And it's like, I'm really curious to see what the agenda is for 20 years.
That's pretty common practice. And they did that about 2 years ago. I remember covering it when I had nothing else to do as far as stories. And it was pretty lame, but they had this, I forget what they called it, like 2020 vision is what they called it. Because it was supposed to be 20 years in the future. And they would go to senior centers and crappy places like that and have people play these little games of life or like these little board games that were kind of like SimCity but with a map of Casper. And you put different businesses here and there and you zone places differently. And then they compile it all. And they
get old people to do it?
Well, that's the one I went to. I went to a senior center.
People who are going to be dead of natural causes in 20 years are planning my city.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Hi, I'm Nima Vadati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, classics, Turkish, menthol, strawberry, cherry, vanilla, coffee, minty mint, and cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, tell anyone who will listen why more government is a good thing. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes and arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
That is so square. Check out the additional Freedom Fiends show, Freedom Fiends Live, every Sunday on the LRN.FM streaming feed or satellite radio.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America.
Freedom Fiends Live expands on the Fiends' weekly Wednesday podcasts, but now we're kicking the hornet's nest live. Talk back to the back talkers every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. From the makers of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Freedom Fiends Live. Call in soon before we get droned.
Rolling.
So, I found something interesting in the Wikipedia article on The State, which is actually written from a very neutral standpoint and is a very educational article, unlike the Wikipedia article on government, on the history of government, which is really statist.
Is it really statist? Is it like that same old formula where there's a problem and then somebody makes a law and then everybody huzzahs because the law has fixed everything?
Pretty much. I mean, I think there is a tiny part on, criticism of the idea of government, and it mentions, us, but people like us. But the one on the history of the of the state, I thought was very interesting. There was this line: was the existence of governments parallels the existence of organized warfare?
Ah, huh. That's very true. Did they, or at least it seems very true, did they give some good examples, or did they have like a little timeline where it shows big wars along with big empire and big governments?
Yeah, and it's too much to go into, and we got a lot to cover, so I'd recommend people go search the Wikipedia article on the state.
Definitely, I'll have to check
out. There's a profile on Facebook called The State, which is actually, I'm sure, run by some Free State Project New Hampshire Liberty guy or girl, but you know, it's presented as they are the state, and whenever there's like statist headlines, they're all excited about it.
Nice.
Someone posted our Compliacid ad on there, and the state's response to it was fap 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 fap.
Like it was masturbating.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, probably got all moist when the NDAA happened too, and all that kind of good stuff.
Yep.
Hey guys, just got the right to detain you indefinitely. Happy day!
Yeah, the state on Facebook does posts like that. You should check out the state's website.
I should, although then I'll have to friend the state, and I don't know if I want to do that.
I know. Well, you can read it without friending it.
Ah, okay. We'll do that then.
Eventually, it'll be mandatory to friend it. You'll have to do that to get your trash picked up.
Yeah, which is what we were talking about in the last segment.
Yeah, the name of the organization, it was the Natrona County Emergency Management, which I searched and looked up, and it was part of the Sheriff's Department. But it also looks like it's funded by this other thing that's like the Wyoming Emergency Response thing, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security. They're kind of obscuring some links there, but that's what it looks like to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I've noticed that there is, you know, especially in small towns, they'll have places like that, or in counties, they'll have, it's almost like a fusion center, but they hide it, so they don't call it a fusion center, they call it an emergency management center. We have one here in Benton County where I'm at, and it's like all the local governments get together and pool their resources, which I guess is fine, it's great to pool your resources, but I'm pretty sure they seek grants from people like Homeland
Security.
Well,
and a fusion center is the Department of Homeland Security's like regional spy centers.
Right, right.
You know, those are the people that issue the, like, videos. The one in Denver issued a video that was, like, a 20-minute training video for citizens with, like, some B-level movie star.
Was that the If You See Something, Say Something campaign?
Yeah, and it was basically saying, like, here are signs of people being terrorists, you know, and it was things like taking pictures of public monuments.
Criticizing the Federal Reserve or the United States monetary system.
Yeah, and, you know, some of them are things that nonviolent liberty people like us do, like criticizing the Federal Reserve, and some of them are things that everybody does, like taking pictures of public monuments and bridges.
Yeah,
you know?
Or paying with cash.
Yeah, paying with cash, buying ammo, buying food, which I still go back to the, I'm amused that the Department of Homeland Security said in one press release, if somebody is storing food, report them. And in another press release said, you should store food in time for an emergency, you know, to prepare for an emergency.
Right, right. Well, they're a big government bureaucracy and are, as such, inefficient and bad at communicating within itself.
They're the dinosaur chewing on its own tail because it's too stupid to know better.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
or they want everyone turning everyone in because, you know, that probably gives them grounds to do a sneak and peek. You know about, like, since 9/11, since the Patriot Act, the so horribly named, ironically named Patriot Act.
Or as Ron Paul calls it, the repeal of the Fourth Amendment Act.
Which I call the makes it easier to throw patriots in jail act. It allows them to do a quick sneak and peek in your house without a warrant. You know, if they have what they call a credible source, which could be, you know, granny down the street peering through her window who doesn't like you because you drive a motorcycle or something.
Well, see, there's another confliction because in Indiana now, can't you legally shoot a cop if he's invading your home unlawfully?
Yeah. That was interesting. It's like that being passed with the, you know, we can sneak a peek and we can search. You know, I'm wondering.
They're trying to incite an incident, maybe. I don't think that's it. I don't think there's any planning to it. I think they're just, you know, unorganized.
Yeah. Well, thank God. I don't want them being more organized. the saving grace of the state is its lack of organization.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Bad Quaker says, you don't want Ron Paul because he'll make it more efficient and then he'll not always be there and someone else will have it more efficient.
It's true. Although the thing about Ron Paul, and I've said this before, is I think he would get rid of a lot of things. I don't know if it'd necessarily make the government more efficient. I mean, obviously he's not going to make the IRS more efficient because he's going to abolish it. So there would cease to be an IRS. So I think in that kind of respect, it's good. But I am starting more to buy into his argument that, you know, if Ron Paul did gain any real traction, you know, he might end up dead. Yeah.
Yeah, someone would kill him. Someone from the IRS, maybe.
Right.
I mean, probably not, you know, as an official thing. But, you know, somebody from some organization whose job would be dissolved would probably go after him.
Go crazy and, yeah, go attack him.
Some statist would go, I'm going to lose my pension.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you cut $1 trillion from the government, there's going to be plenty of pissed people. And they work for the government, so they have no qualms about being violent. So,
hey, did you see the Free Lunch Project?
Yeah.
It's a takeoff on the Free State Project.
It is hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, people their motto is they feel they're entitled to something, pretty much.
Yeah, and instead of a porcupine being their logo, it's a raccoon because they eat through trash.
Yeah.
Their goal is to move 100,000 dependency-minded people to Massachusetts.
Yeah, nice. Although, isn't Massachusetts already, you know, the opposite of a free state?
Yeah.
Which, I guess, it's still hilarious.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll have to check it out some more. They should do an ironic podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're too busy doing non-ironic podcasts where they ask every caller why they're not in New Hampshire yet.
I don't think I've heard that before. I mean, I've heard that. I haven't heard a podcast where that was everything they were saying.
You haven't listened to everything on LRN that's out of New Hampshire. I mean, well, not to pick on anybody, I'm glad they do it, but Free Talk Live, with most callers, it seems to get around, you know, to why don't you move to New Hampshire?
Yeah, I guess I kind of remember that a little bit. But really, the only things I listen to on LRN lately are us, Scott Horton, and Bad Quaker.
Ian did it when I interviewed him on Anarchy Gumbo. It was funny. And thank goodness. I mean, you know, I like that they have that mission statement. It's just, I'm not going to move across the street from Massachusetts.
I'm just not going to move that far north. I mean, I hate living in Washington State as it is, and I'm in the desert side that stays sunny mostly and doesn't get too cold.
Yeah.
Want to live in Texas, man, but I want it to be free, like in Roswell, Texas.
You've been reading too much libertarian fiction.
I have been. I've been on like a binge for like the past week and a half. That's all I've been doing.
When you get pulled over in Texas for warrants, for traffic tickets, you're going to tell the cop, but L. Neil Smith says that blah, 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 and they're just going to beat you and throw you in prison.
They are. It's such a bummer. Yeah, I like how in Roswell, Texas, you have to have a permit to not carry a gun because it's compulsory for everybody to carry a gun. And the only time it comes up is LBJ. He's like some kind of secret government agent, and he gets to not wear a gun.
Well, I really like how it worked in Mulan Labe, another great libertarian fiction of how LibPair would work, which is in Mulan Labe, it happens basically. It's kind of like what would happen if Ron Paul became president. I mean, but it's on a state level. You know, there's still a state, but it's gradual. It's fast sweeping changes in the state until it's pared down to like nothing.
Right. Until you can drown it in a bathtub.
Yeah. Who said that? That was funny.
Grover Paul? Norquist or something.
Oh. Yeah. I want to reduce the size of government to the point where I can drown it in a bathtub. It's funny. In Mulan Labe, they pass a law where you don't pay any state sales tax if you're carrying a gun. Because the theory being, they lay off a bunch of cops and they're like, well, basically, we only need cops to protect the people who don't carry guns, so they should pay for it. And
which is genius and perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of gradualism that I can get behind is stuff like
that. And, you know, some people in Jackson decide to they don't want to carry a gun, so they carry, like, replica guns that aren't really guns, you know, like airsoft guns that look like guns in a holster. so they can not pay the taxes. And when they're caught, they're charged and arrested for tax evasion.
Right. Which is pretty funny. And I guess maybe gradualism's okay. But I think, you know, if I look at that a little bit more philosophically, then it's almost like a mandate, because you're mandating that people need to defend themselves one way, whether it be from the government or from them having their own guns. So it's almost like the health insurance mandate, if you think about it.
Well, I think that there should be a – and maybe there is. I don't remember in that – in Milan Labe.
Where I can waive my right to have police come protect me or something?
No, I think there's a thing of if you have private security, you also don't have to pay – you know, if you have armed bodyguards.
Right. But even then, you're mandated to have some form of defense, be it the local policeman, your own gun, or your own private security.
Well, I asked Boston if he's a minarchist or an anarchist, and he said, it's kind of complicated, but I'm basically a minarchist.
Yeah.
Which, you know, could be. I didn't ask what's the complicated part, and he needs to come be on Anarchy Gumbo, because I need to interview him. But
yeah, I was going to say, it's been a while since you guys had a deep philosophical conversation.
Yeah, and we've never done it online.
Yeah.
You know, I want to ask him if that's a panarchist thing, an opt-out thing, or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But speaking of Casper and Wyoming, Casper man shoots self in web of hand and in foot, holstering his gun outside the convention center.
Yikes. Poor guy, man. I can't help but feel sorry for him.
Well, it'll never happen to me.
It'd Why
be
not?
Too embarrassing. Well, first of all, because I'm very careful with keeping my finger off the trigger at all times. But and, you know, like when I'm holstering my gun, you know, I carry a shoulder holster and I'll point it away from any person and at a wall that would, like, absorb a bullet and not bounce it, you know?
Yeah. Here's the thing that – so does your shoulder holster, does it point, like, directly back to you, like, perpendicular to your body to where it muzzle sweeps
people pointing,
all the time?
It's muzzle sweeping the world, everyone behind me.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd ever want to wear a holster like that. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable.
Boston wouldn't let me wear one at the Free State Wyoming thing.
Because of the muzzle sweep thing?
Yeah. Actually, he said – either wear some other kind of holster or cover it with a shirt.
I've seen cops do that a lot. Not, you know,
detectives,
beat cops, but detectives.
Cops. Yeah.
And
yeah, fat people who sit at a desk a lot, like me. That's what.
Well, it always bugged me because I felt like if they turn their back to me, they're going to be muzzle sweeping me, and that's just not polite.
Yeah, I got to find some other way to do it. Or just not carry around chambered. I mean, I think that's the ethical thing to do. But
yeah, I can see that.
I don't like doing that, but
you're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, I always got to be, you know, one in the chamber with the safety on.
Yeah.
I used to not carry that way, but I couldn't see myself not
doing
that.
Well, Glocks, you know, semi-autos used to almost all have a safety, and Glocks introduced the idea of not having a safety. And there was something called Glockfoot, which was when police agencies started issuing Glocks in the 80s, maybe.
A lot of cops shot themselves
in the foot because they weren't used to it, man.
Glockfoot. That's great. Yeah, and obviously we've seen a video of a guy shooting himself in the foot, which was pretty hilarious.
With a Glock. Because he's the only person professional enough in this room to carry a gun.
So, see, I can get the not having a safety thing, but I feel like there should be at least something, kind of like that passive safety that, the Springfield XD has?
Yeah, I like that.
To where the web between your thumb and your forefinger.
So basically, if it's sitting on the – if it's not – you know, if an XD is sitting on your bed and you – reach in and touch the trigger without touching any part of the gun and pull the trigger, it will not fire.
Right.
You have to be gripping it. The back of your hand on the back of the grip is the second safety.
Yes. It has to basically be in firing position for it to turn, and it turns the safety off itself.
Which is based on a 1911. 1911s have that.
Oh, they do. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bit out of my price range, so I don't even think I've ever handled a 1911.
Well, your mom's got one. Have her show you how to use it.
I know. They've got so many guns. I always fantasize that they're going to, like, hand me down a few, but they have not yet, so.
They're using them.
They've got like, gotta have like a warehouse full by now. I swear.
Well,
they,
I willed you a bunch of, I willed you a bunch of guns, but I'm gonna be around for a while.
Yeah, I don't want to ever get those.
Yeah.
It's the first time I think I've ever seen a will that put me that somebody put me in, and it's kind of weird. It's like, oh, that's great, but I don't want to think about somebody dying.
Well, if DJ and I die, you also get to have my ashes and put them into shotgun shells and spray them out in a rural place.
Right, which will be a lot of fun, but also sad and very sad. Don't want to talk about that anymore. But
I'm going to outlive you.
You're going to outlive me? Okay.
Yep.
I hope we live to be forever, you know, like in Elno Smith. We can just get new bodies.
Well, you know, it may get to the point where the technology exists that that's possible.
Yep. We'll see. Not if the state keeps harassing us, man.
I know.
That's why we got to move to space. I keep telling my wife that. Let's move to space, wife. Let's get away from the government. Because, yeah, I'm always thinking, man, I would just like to be like my dad and leave the oppressive country I'm in and try to find a free place. But it's like, where? I mean.
So does your dad think America is incredibly free because he grew up in Iran?
No. No.
No, because he runs small businesses and has to deal with the government constantly.
He does, indeed. And he's, he's got a PhD in economics. I mean, he's not an Austrian by any means, but he believes in the free market and he sees that the government doesn't do it. But it seems to me the last time we talked, he still buys the fatal conceit that because people are or can be inherently bad, we need some kind of regulator or some kind of final arbiter like a government. Which, that argument is just logically inconsistent because the people who are evil then will gain control of the government.
Yes, police handcuff Georgia kindergartner for tantrum. That's a headline that's a result of this kind of stuff this week.
Police handcuff Georgia kindergartner for tantrum. Is that real or is that Onion?
That's real. That's real.
Oh my God, that is insane! Like, I'm guessing this was in a public school, right?
Yeah, of course.
See, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's what I fear for my kid is sending him to a public school like this and having him get handcuffed when he's in freaking kindergarten. Man, that kid is gonna. I hope that kid hates cops for the rest of his life.
I know.
So,
although he might not, you know, I mean, they might convince him. Well. You were being bad, and they did it for your own good. And he'll go, "I'm sorry."
Mm. Yeah, maybe that's the thing now. Break them all the way in kindergarten. Then you don't have to deal with them being rebellious teenagers.
I know.
Ah, you know, I see. And of course, the kid was black. Looks like,
which you know, cults do. Cults get you young and break you and take advantage of you know that you're a different race or whatever. And well, I don't know if cults do. Why is it important that he's black? Mention that.
I don't know. I guess I just noticed it. I mean, I guess it's not super salient or relevant since it was in Atlanta and, you know, there's a large black population there. So, I don't know.
Well, it's the South and they're pushing around a minority.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Although, I didn't read it enough to notice his race and it didn't make a difference to me. I'm you're racist. That's racist.
That's racist. There you go. You got to use that's racist whenever
you're
that
a brown guy noticing that someone's brown. You're racist.
That's racist.
So the thing I didn't say about the Casper man shoots self in web of hand and in foot while holstering gun, a lot of the comments on the Tribune, on the Prairie Pravda website, blamed the Casper, the Wyoming, the new you can carry without a permit law for this. And a couple of them said, Kit Jennings might as well have pulled the trigger. That's the politician who put that law.
Right, right. Up. Oh, man. Well, see, here's the thing about Wyoming, though, is you know how people say, well, libertarians sort of live on the internet and have their little fantasy world on the internet? Well, I think in Wyoming, statists do that on the internet. Cause
they really do. Because if you read – and liberal statists, which
yes,
there aren't that many
very liberal
in this statists. State, you know, that's like 10% of the state. But if you read the Prairie Pravda – you feel like 100% of the people or 90% of the people are San Francisco Democrats who live here.
Right. Know? And of course, I blame that on because these people, if they go out to a city council meeting or go out in public and talk to their friends, nobody else is going to believe what they believe about, you know, at least the liberal side of statism. So they have their little enclave there in the comments section of all the local papers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worms.
Worms.
So,
but hold on. I had another thing about this. Yep. So the other thing is, you know, people have accidents every day with all sorts of legal, normal, everyday activities. Driving a car, walking up the stairs, walking on ice, all sorts of things that people do all day, every day. People can get hurt or even killed doing. So, but anytime it happens with a gun, we always hear about it. I mean, how many headlines have you read, you know, somebody slips on the floor, breaks their leg? I mean, I never hear something like that. So...
Well, guns have awesome power, and people are afraid of it. People who don't, you know, don't know what to do with them.
Or yeah,
don't
know about. Yeah, and I guess I've always been trying to break that paradigm and sort of get rid of that because, A, I think it's silly, and B, I think it creates a bogeyman for the state, or a boogeyman, or however you like to pronounce it, for the state to sort of go after and think that it should be regulated, and then it turns the people who own the things into bad guys, and that's sort of where the root from this comes from. It's how they hold us to that horizontal liberation.
Well, I think a lot of it is gun grabbers are people who are afraid of what would happen if they had a gun. You know, people yeah. who say, well, if guns are legal, everyone's going to shoot all their neighbors over parking ticket, you know, over parking stuff, and really, that's what the gun grabber would do if they had a gun. And I explained it to that guy from that band, The Dwarves, when he interviewed me, Blag Dahlia. I said, right. You know, I can't believe you're anti-gun. I mean, having a gun, you know, what kind of life are you living when you can't immediately at any point in time have the means to take your own life or that of another? And he, you know, I mean, I was being kind of philosophical. I wasn't threatening or saying anything bad about people, but or like that anyone should do it. But it's like, you know, people with guns are walking around with the means to end their life or someone else's life. It's really, it's kind of, and like, I think he got that because I think he thinks if he had a gun, he'd end his own life. If you listen to his music, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely can understand where you're coming from because I know people like that too.
It's my extension of the unexamined life is not worth living. You know, the life you can't end at any moment is not worth living. And I am totally not suicidal or homicidal, but it's like I have a loaded gun on my nightstand.
Yeah. Well, I feel like having a gun and carrying it every day has made me more mature in that sense. It's made me more of an adherent to the non-aggression principle because I have to be in control of myself and I have to be in control of that weapon that can end somebody's life or my own life.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the point. This has not happened yet of me carrying a gun, but I'm waiting for the point where somebody talks shit to me on the street and I just walk away, which is what I'm going to do. Whereas without a gun, I'd probably spar with them verbally.
Yeah.
And try to not get punched. But, you know, like what I've done in the past with stupid people who talk crap to me is I try to insult them in a way that they don't get until they get home and look it up in a dictionary.
Nice. Sort of just plant the bomb and it'll blow up later.
Yeah.
I know about that strategy pretty well.
So, I came across this thing on this video game site called Video Game Geek, and it's this video game where you are a statist newspaper editor, and you have to, why don't you explain it? You saw it. Well,
I don't even know if you are a statist. Well, it's a statist newspaper. You are an editor. It doesn't explain if you're a statist or not because you're sort of acting as yourself. But in the first paragraph, it says, oh, and just to make sure that everything is good, we've got your family, your wife and your kids in a safe location. Just remember that, basically.
It says the game premise is that the revolution has just ended and there is a totalitarian regime called Republica in power. I think that should be our name for the state.
The Republica.
Republica.
It's not bad.
You run a state-controlled newspaper and are tasked with publishing all the news the state thinks fit to print. You must increase loyalty and readership. The state has your family in a safe location. Pick which stories to run and where to run them wisely. Otherwise, the government will have your family killed.
Yeah.
Talk about the look of the game, too.
It's pretty awesome. It looks like those old floppy disk games you used to get, like the actual floppy ones that actually flopped on like an old Mac computer or something.
Yeah. It's a browser. It's in the browser game. We'll link it in the show notes under Republica.
But it's all basically text based with like cheesy little graphics on the right. I mean, it looks like it's well done. It's doing this on purpose, obviously. But it looks like it's a pretty fun thing. I might have to give it a go a little bit later.
But I gave it a go for a while, just to the point of like editing, and I just kept picking the ones that made the state look bad, and I was losing. So I couldn't. Apparently, you can get to the point where you can like get the army behind you and overthrow the state or something, or get militants behind you. And I don't know how it works, but you can get out of working for the state somehow. But it's a pretty bizarre concept for a game. I mean, you said it was kind of like, it kind of reminded you of your job when you're working in TV.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because technically, for a little bit, my family was kind of hostage in a way. You know, I move out to this place in the middle of nowhere. Well, not the middle of nowhere, but Washington State, sort of away from all of my support structures and the people that I know. Well, I'm talking about when I moved to Washington, not when I moved to Wyoming. Because when I moved to Washington, you know, I just was a newlywed and I brought my wife with me. And, you know, we didn't have any money. We did get a lot of wedding money, but it cost us an arm and a leg to move everything up from Texas. And she didn't have a job yet. So for the first 3 months, she was looking for a job. I'm working, you know, barely getting paid anything to be a TV reporter. And I hated it pretty much from week one. The stories I had to do, the angle of the things were, our quote-unquote brand, you know, the way we framed things, the way all my stories got edited. Well, I guess I wasn't the editor in this story. Another person was. When I read this about this game, I was like, yeah, it was kind of like we were being held hostage. You know, I had to feed my wife. If I didn't report in this statist way that I hated doing, you know, for that first 3 months, I would have gotten fired. We would have starved. Not starved. I would have found something else, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
So
check out, the website is pope.jeffsys.net, J-E-F-F-S-Y-S.net. I'll link it. And check out Video Game Geek if you're a gamer, too. It's run by a guy I know, and it's a good site. And,
awesome.
So the Department of Justice sued Apple over price-fixing scheme.
Huh, I think we already talked about this.
Okay, moving on.
We talked about it during a live show.
Oh, Ted Nugent's response to the Democrats yelling at him for his comments about Obama. So Ted Nugent said, "I'm a black Jew at a Nazi Klan rally."
Yeah, he's good with words, man. I just wish he could be a good guy instead of a bad guy.
I know.
And I don't know what his deal is.
I still think part of it is he's trying to make amends to his fans for having been a draft dodger, because that's uncool with his fans, because a lot of his fans now are military people or pro-state people.
I almost think it's more like he's found his niche and he's sticking to it. Like, he's got this small group of people who I mean, I guess at this point, his career is sort of being extreme and saying outrageous things.
Which people can accuse us of, you know. I mean, but here's, I don't think it's true with us, and he would probably say the same thing, but if we were getting no traction and no attention on the internet for what we're doing, I'd still be doing it. I'd still be, like, talking to people on the street saying, you know, the state's bad. Here's why.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this is how we talk. You know, often we're on the phone just BSing, and we're like, man, we should have been recording that. Or, hey, you want to start casting? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we just get on here with a microphone and say how we feel. And it's not only a feeling for me, but it just seems fairly obvious, logically, that the state is evil and is pretty much the root of every problem you see, every giant social issue that's oppressing us.
That's something I want to get away from, too. It is, but only because of the people.
And we're using the bad Quaker definition of the state, or at least I was there, to where the state is the state mindset being, of the people that are controlling their lives. The state is the belief that people have a right to steal your money, kill you, throw you in a cage if they're wearing the right uniforms, or if you went through whatever social contract due process they have.
You know, another interesting related article on Wikipedia that I'd recommend people read is the article on political legitimacy, which is where governments derive their claim to be right in governing from.
Ah.
And it basically comes down to three things. Historically, it's either the people or
divine of kings, God, God divine made me king.
Heaven. Mm-hmm. Or because we say so, which was the Nazi Germany one. Although the Nazi Germany one also went under the people, because the people elected them. But
well, of course, it was certain people. It was, you know, us Aryan Germans.
Yeah, you Aryan Germans. You're Aryan and your wife's German. Aryan in the true sense, though, of where Hitler stole the word from. But, and it's like, you know, a lot of people, even statist people, like Tea Party people now, and Occupy Wall Street people, are starting to examine the, hey, the people aren't really being represented here. You know, and their answer is, we need to tweak the state, whereas mm-hmm. our answer is, we need to not have a state. But and an interesting thing I noticed was people who would, think about hippies, like people who criticize people like Romney, or a better example, Santorum. You know, Santorum and Reagan both said things at various points to the effect of, like, you know, God has put me in this position. God wants me to rule.
George Bush said that too.
Yeah. And that's a common Republican thing. And that's basically saying a mandate from heaven rather than a mandate of the people.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of scary and weird. And the Founding Fathers did not really talk that way. It's kind of been exaggerated and changed. You know, Jefferson was a deist, which is what I am. Deism is, you believe there's a creator, but it doesn't answer prayers, and it doesn't, you know, basically it invented it all and then went away.
Right, right.
It does not affect it on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and also to be a deist, you would then not believe Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, which is the whole thing with born-again Christians, right?
Well, we talked at one point about Jefferson basically felt Jesus was a prophet or a wise man to be listened to, but not a prophet. So, and he wrote a really controversial book, or edited. It was called the Jefferson Bible. He basically took the Bible and removed everything about miracles and angels.
Yeah, which is really interesting. So,
yeah.
Jefferson believed or thought of Jesus the way Muslims do. So there you go.
But an interesting
Muslims believe Jesus is a prophet. Did Jefferson believe Jesus was a prophet or just a smart guy?
I think just a smart guy. Okay. I don't want to. I don't know.
Yeah,
is my answer.
We didn't read the Jefferson Bible, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that most Christians their heads would explode if they realized that Muslims actually do believe Jesus was a prophet.
Yeah, I guess they would. At least the dumber of them. I think there are still some that know that. They just, you know, think, well, hey, it doesn't matter if you believed he was a prophet, just because you started believing Muhammad. Like, there are ones on boards that call them, like, Muhammadites and stuff. And so I think that inherently recognizes that they're of the same Semitic religion line or lineage. But because they then went further to believe in Muhammad, they're the bad guys.
So Muhammad was an actual person who walked the earth, and that's a historical fact regardless of what you believe. Is that true?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, there's history of, you know, the Muslims sort of conquering their portion of the world, you know, throughout Northern Africa and the Middle East. And, I mean, Muhammad was part of that.
There are atheists who believe the same thing about Jesus. Although Muhammad was about 1700 years ago and Jesus was a little over 2000 years ago. So the records get spottier as you go back. But an interesting contradiction I found was a lot of hippie leftists, I guess I'd call them, hate it when people like George Bush or Santorum say, you know, it's my divine right to be leading people. And they don't just hate Santorum and Reagan. They hate the fact that they say it's a divine right.
Yeah.
But those same hippie leftists also love the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama, his position is reincarnation by divine right. So there's a contradiction.
There's definitely a contradiction. Although, here's the thing about the Dalai Lama, is he's part of a freedom movement. He doesn't want to be controlled by the state of China, you know.
I like him better than I like Santorum, for sure.
Definitely.
And, you know, I remember I couldn't tell who was wiser, him or Van Jones.
Yeah, that was kind of disgusting, Edward Norton.
Edward Norton, y'all.
Edward Norton! Yeah. But, okay, so here's the other thing. So, fine. Saying that you have divine right, yeah, that's obviously silly on its face. But isn't saying that, you know, people giving a government the right to control other people, how is that any more legitimate? And I guess that's where anarchists sort of break away from this whole thing is...
Yeah, I heard a conversation recently, to put that in really good terms, was that, you know, any American will criticize North Korea as a bad place to live. You know,
yeah.
You don't want to live there, or America is starting to look like North Korea, or whatever people say. I saw a really funny cartoon of it that sums it up well on this site called The Oatmeal recently. It was a two-panel cartoon, and it said the difference between North Korea and South Korea. And the North Korea one had a guy at gunpoint with a pickaxe, like breaking rocks. And the guy with the gun was saying, "We need more minerals." And then South Korea, it showed a kid in his room on his Apple computer with his iPhone next to him, a Korean kid with headphones on playing a video game. And in the video game, the game was saying, "We need more minerals." You
know? Right. Exactly.
But people's complaint about North Korea is the violence, is the, you know, people are forced to do what they do. So how can those same people like democracy or like a system like America where you are forced to do by, you know, 51% of the people?
The American state has a better PR campaign. I mean, that's basically what it boils
down to. In America,
I'd
say that's not true, because in North Korea, I think North Korea has a much better PR campaign, you know, to the point where if you criticize it, they kill you and your family.
Hmm.
That's pretty, you know, I'm not talking about legitimacy or morality. I'm talking about effectiveness. Oh, yeah.
Okay, okay. Well, then it would be indoctrination, I guess, because, you know, the American government has control of us, obviously, and gets to tell us what to believe for 12 years. Or
it's like Mike Shanklin said, try being a voluntarist in North Korea. You'll be dead in a week.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Whereas in America, you know, you can do it and they'll just tax the hell out of you and put you on a list. And in Europe, if you're a gun nut, they'll... You know, in Europe, if you get shot with a gun, they'll charge you for possession of a bullet in some places.
Well, in England, if you tweet naughty things about politicians and call them C-words, you get thrown in prison now, too.
Wow.
Yeah, did you see that? There was a headline.
Which is kind of interesting, because I have a friend in Sheffield, England, a Facebook friend who I chatter with a lot back and forth, who's constantly posting news items from America on my wall about the March of Tyranny in America.
So in England, they hear about our tyranny. In America, we hear about their tyranny and North Korea's tyranny.
I think he's aware of their tyranny, though, too, because he likes guns. I don't think he has any. But
how can you like guns and live in England?
You have neutered guns, remember?
Yeah. Although I guess I'd like freedom and live in America, so that's kind of the same thing as liking guns and living in England. I'm not allowed to have it.
Yeah, I mean, one of my criticisms of Stefan Molyneux before I got to know him a little bit was that he lives in Canada. I'm like, how can you be a freedom person and live in Canada?
But we're freedom people and we live in America.
And we live in America because there's nowhere to go, you know?
See, that's why we need to go to space. Telling
the
you.
rednecks say, if you don't like America, leave. And I'm like, okay, where?
Yeah.
But I don't want to move. I just want to stay right where I am and be left alone by America.
Exactly.
I would even gladly, like, you know, I mean, this doesn't sound moral, but I would gladly continue paying taxes if they just left me alone. Because I don't want to pay taxes and have them used against me.
Left you alone how? Because I feel like paying taxes is not leaving me alone.
Well,
like that's one of the main things I want to be left alone in, is to keep all of my money.
I don't know. What would you like to do that you can't do?
I don't
take drugs, but I think that people should have the right to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to have a full auto gun without having to get a stamp.
Me too.
I'd like to have a silencer on a gun without having to get a stamp. I don't have either of those things. And I don't even really...
I'd like to have anti-aircraft missiles.
Yeah.
Anti-drones.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm thinking, like, wait, do we need to backpedal that we even said that stuff?
Why?
You know, why? Well, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, do we really have freedom of speech? I don't think so. So I'm saying, like, paying the taxes is immoral. Having to pay the taxes is immoral, but it would be less immoral to me if I had to pay them and then they'd leave me alone.
Right. If you got something in return. So if you
know,
well, see, and this was interesting. I think Michael Rozoff brought this up in an article. I forget what he called it, but he had this idea. He didn't really believe it would work, but it was just a thought experiment where what if we picked some number, and he did all the math. I'm not doing the math now, but what if we picked some number that was greatly lower than the taxes we pay now, but promised to pay it personally to every congressman? So in exchange for not creating any new laws or not legislating.
Well, here's – okay. Since I don't do drugs and I really only want machine guns because I can't have them, I really think they're a waste of ammo and time, and I don't see what the purpose of having them would be. Here's a couple things I'd like to be able to do that I can't do that I'd be happier if I could still pay taxes but be able to do these things. And they're both free speech things. One is I would like to – I mean, for $200, I could get a radio transmitter that would cover my city of 50,000 people and do it on an empty channel that wouldn't interfere with anyone else.
And not get harassed by the FCC.
Right. I'd like to broadcast Freedom Fiends 24/7 in my town. I cannot do that. I would go to jail. The second thing I'd like to be able to do is, since I am paying for the public school and I don't have any kids, I would like to be able to go down to the public school and speak to the kids. And if I did that, I'd get arrested. I would like to go down and set up a table out of the way of people.
Sort of the opposite of army recruiters.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A fiend recruiter.
Right.
That's a great idea.
I'd like to be able to do that. And if I did that, I mean, Ian and Pete have tried that in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And been arrested or been chased off, you know.
Wow. I'm sure they have that up at Cop Block. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, those are two things I'd like to be able to do.
Okay. Very noble causes.
Yeah. I'd like to be able to go into my police station with a video camera with impunity and film the cops and ask them questions. If I did that, my life would be hell.
Yeah. Good point. And yeah, if you believe in any kind of government and transparency, here's another thing. I don't understand why... Especially when I was a reporter, right? I had to wait for the cops to send me things. I had to go and beg them to get stats and butter up the person who does it so that she'll have, you know, time to do it. But I kind of felt like, wouldn't this all be easier if just everybody had access to, you know, all the police department information, what they're working on, who they're looking at? If they really are employees, shouldn't we be able to check up on what they're doing?
Why isn't there a webcam in every detective's cubicle?
Exactly. You know, that
broadcasting to the internet.
A live feed. Yep. If they're really all about protecting us and they're great public servants, then why don't they provide that? Yeah. I mean, we obviously all know the answer, but think about it.
Yeah, and I'd like to be able to travel 100 miles an hour in the car outside of the city where there's no traffic and not get pulled over by a cop. And if I do get pulled over by a cop, be able to say, oh, here's my certificate. I'm in the opt-out of America. And they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Carry on.
Yeah. Okay. So what if it was this then?
Which is not saying I want to renounce my citizenship. It's saying, like, okay, the rednecks say, if you don't like America, leave it. Where do I sign up to have it leave me alone? I don't even want
to
leave it.
I want America to leave me alone. Or I want the folks in D.C. and all the various
governments. I still want my citizenship because I feel like I'm owed some things because I pay taxes. So, yeah, I'm a citizen. Do my bidding. Do what you're supposed to do. Represent me, bitches.
And obviously they won't, which we realize, which is why... This is just a thought experiment, and the reason it's not like we want it to be is because the government is inherently – or fine, the state and this concept that people have in their minds is inherently illogical and leads to the system we have now, leads to a police state, leads to a taxation state where we're all tax cattle. So I want to get rid of it, but like I said earlier, the main thing I want to get rid of is paying them money. Because I feel like I'm always paying them money. And I notice it every time, and it bugs me. And when I pay a $500 ticket and warrant, I'm lamenting the fact that I didn't get to buy an AK because I had to pay
I'm more concerned with getting rid of the control. And, you know, I'm speaking very theoretical here. I mean, a lot of people say that I'm committing libertarian heresy by saying, I don't mind paying the money if they'll leave me alone. But it's like, I'm doing okay with money. We're doing okay with money to the point where, like, you know, we're not rich, but we're never starving, and we can buy when we live pretty simply. And even paying all these taxes, we can get by. What I'm saying, I guess, is paying the money isn't the part that breaks my brain and makes me lose sleep at night. Mm-hmm. The lack of freedom is the part that makes me lose sleep at night. You know what it is, too? The fear of the state. I mean, the fear of, like, the way things are going, it may get to the point where they will throw me in a cage for doing this podcast. That could happen. I want to opt out of that and keep doing this, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. I want to opt out of that,
you know,
too.
Take my $5,000 or $10,000 a year or whatever we're paying in combined taxes. It's probably more than that because all the taxes at all levels. But I'm getting by paying the taxes. I'm not getting by with the threat of things are changing so quickly that I could be in a cage for doing things that are legal today, tomorrow.
Okay. You know? So then what about this concept that both Rozif brought up, and it's in one of the L. Neil Smith comic books, a moratorium on new laws. Pay the congressmen to not vote for anything, to not write new bills. Pay them to stay home. You know, something more than they get paid now.
That would work with some of them, but it wouldn't work with a lot of people, because a lot of people are sociopaths that become politicians. Think about Romney. Romney has $500 million, billion with a B. He's not doing this for the money. He's not doing this for the $350,000 a year or whatever presidents get paid. He's probably partially doing it to repay the immoral favors he's done to get that rich. But
to hand out more favors and enrich himself more because of the favors.
But I think he's mostly doing it because he feels somehow that subliterate moron feels he's smarter than everyone else and should be telling him what to do.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And inherently, that's the essence of what's wrong and why we need to get rid of the whole concept of the state is because Worms. People are evil, like Michael just said. Because there's people that you couldn't pay enough money to leave you alone.
I've heard the idea of government defined as, you know, what people think when they get the government is people are bad, so we need a government to protect us from people. But what's the government made of? It's made up of people. So if people are bad, you know, that's the snake eating the tail.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. Freedomfiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
So, did you see this Reuters article? Tax time pushes some Americans to relinquish citizenship.
I did indeed. Yeah, they ran the numbers on the last time people, you know, dropped out or opted out in the sense that they gave up their U.S. citizenship. And it looks like last year was almost 1,800 people.
It's mostly rich people, right?
That's what it seems. I mean, I've thought about that too. And, you know, I sometimes read stuff written by the Sovereign Man blog, you know, where it's all about, you know, change your investments to international investments and renounce your citizenship and move to Sri Lanka and all this other, or not Sri Lanka, but Singapore. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds fun. If I had $1 million, I'd probably do something like that, but I don't.
I think you need more than a million to make that work. But, I don't know. I mean, I have a friend who went with his wife and visited Southeast Asia and went to like 12 different countries there. And they sure are not going to let you own guns, but if all you want to do is sit on the beach, have drinks, and pay someone to massage you, you know, you can live like a king in Thailand or Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah. See, that'd be fun and everything. And I guess if you were rich enough, you could probably own guns and get away with it. You know, bribe whoever in your local town is, you know. I think you could get away with it.
Here's my thing. Are you going to go ahead?
Well, what's your thing?
My thing is, you know, as long as I had my wife and my podcast or my media empire, I could do that. But I don't know if they'd let you do that from one of those countries, do the media empire. I mean, they might if you only criticized America. You know, you could probably go to Russia and do it and be the Russia Today Freedom Fiends. But
part of Freedom Fiends is we like to complain about our local tyrannical stuff, too.
Right, right. And if you know, if we lived in Vietnam or Thailand or Russia, and you know the local Politburo was imposing a tax on pornography or liquor or I don't know, I mean we'd have to complain about them. We wouldn't care about the Casper City Council anymore, but we'd be complaining about the Stalingrad City Council.
So what if you lived in like some kind of place that was set up to be you know, an anarcho-capitalist or a market freedom kind of community. Like, I think Doug Casey, isn't he building something out in Argentina, or he's got a little neighborhood there?
I think there'd be – I think I'd like it, but I still think there'd be more arguing than ever, because everyone would just sit around in cafes and argue about the 0.1% they disagree on.
Yeah, maybe. But if you're in a place like that where your immediate surroundings weren't imposing tyranny on you, then you could probably get away with – you know, doing the Freedom Fiends, not pissing off the local officials because they wouldn't care, and, you know, not having local tyranny to report on. So.
Well, I mean, I made media for 10 years before I became a libertarian that was very important to me to disseminate and get the information out there. A lot of it was about sex, which is really another kind of freedom, but or another angle of freedom. But, I mean, I don't know. I'd probably spend more time writing tutorials on how to use Mumble and Skype and how to edit video or something. That's what I did before.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I still do it once in a while. Like I do, I used to get paid to write books doing tutorials that had lots of screenshots in them. And now it seems like every 4 months I have to do a blog post like that because it's like
it's force of habit. Yeah, you can't help it. Well, it's a good instinct you have, Michael, and I think it provides a valuable service to the world, which is a lot of what you like to do with your art. And when you learn something that works well, you let everybody else know how to do it. It's open source.
I like what David,
to the core.
David Crow said to me, I love how you put yourself and your story, you just put it all out there. I really admire that about you. And I said, thanks. My life is a teaching hospital. And the last shrink I saw said it was a problem. He called it compulsive disclosure.
Well, here's a question then. Okay. Because we always complain about the government trying to monitor our lives, but you really like your life to be out there. So what if it were like a Truman Show or Ed TV kind of scenario, but with like a more free market thing? Would you broadcast your whole life to everybody?
Not 24/7. I mean, I guess the difference is, you know, I joke and I say I bug my own house with podcasting, but I don't 24/7. You know, I don't want to, you know, if I have a disagreement with my wife, I don't, which is very rare, but it's like I wouldn't want to make that public just because I sound petty in it. You know, we never yell at each other. I never hit her. But
you have to be the editor in any kind of arrangement.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, the government wants to do it 24/7. Did you hear about this thing that Bloomberg's trying to put in New York City where they'll have like TSA type scanners everywhere to see if you have a gun?
Yeah. It's some form of millimeter wave or some kind of technology that they can shoot at you, bombard you with these rays, and the image they get. Because the waves like won't go through something as dense as gunmetal. It'll show like a little imprint of what you're carrying. Yeah. And did they actually pass it to where they're going to have those on the street now? I thought it was just like a test thing they were doing.
They're testing them like in the subways, you know, because they have a monopoly.
Of course.
But they want to have them to
just
where, like,
on
you
the
know,
street.
If you walk down the street. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I hear such horrible stories about, like, guns in New York and people who didn't know just how bad things they were, and they drove into town and went to some government building and said, hey, where can I check my gun? And they get arrested and sent to prison. And I just
I know.
How can there be a place in the world that's like that? It boggles my mind.
And how could rednecks care if it gets blown off the map? How could rednecks go, you messed with the wrong nation? When they don't even consider that part of their nation. Most rednecks would be terrified to walk down the street. You know what it is? Fox News happened, and Fox News is from New York City.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. Like in fictional accounts of New York, you know what? Just fiction in general, sometimes there'll be a problem. Like there's a mugger. One of the characters will get mugged, and the whole episode's about how they resolve it with themselves. And I'm like, why can't they just get a gun? You know? Buy yourself a gun. End of story. Do an episode on that, guys, on defending yourself.
I just realized it's funny. We were talking about earlier about the robocall that we got from the cops. It's the robocall from the robocops.
It's robocops.
People like Bloomberg and Santorum and Obama would love to have robocops. You ever see that movie?
Yeah. I was like 5 or something, though. I don't remember.
It's awesome. It's an awesome anti, you know, it's basically like not too distant future LA or New York, and crime is so bad that they have to come up with these robotic cops that, you know, can't be hurt by bullets. I mean, the military is basically doing that right now. They're making robo soldiers, but
I mean, obviously drones are already robot, and you think they're also working on ground based units? Well, I guess we've shown that before.
Well, they've got them. They've got the one that's like a dog that can carry a pack and run with a soldier up an icy incline. But they'll just, you know, it's easier to make something out of four legs than two legs in a robot. But eventually they have one that's two legs. It can't carry anything yet.
Well, I don't see why they probably have some that have wheels on them too, right? That are just, I mean, that's what they put on Mars was a rover with wheels. They could do that and, you know, mount a 50 caliber machine gun on it and just with a turret. I mean, it's not hard for them to do. So,
and or something, you know, the millimeter wave thing that can tell if you have a gun or not and just turn them loose around New York City and just shoot people.
Judge, jury, and executioner all in one robotic mind.
Well, that's what RoboCop was. And the funny thing that everyone remembers from RoboCop is the opening scene where they're presenting their invention to the board of directors of the company that invented it, and it accidentally, like, murders the CEO in the boardroom.
Wow.
There was an American Dad takeoff on that, where the CIA came up with a new type of robot for crime fighting or terrorism fighting, and they're demonstrating it to a group of senators, and one of them is... what's her name from California? The gun grabber bitch. Not Nancy Pelosi. Dianne Feinstein is sitting there in the parking lot of the CIA, and they're like, it has massive kill capacity, but it can also do delicate tasks such as adjusting the pearls on the neck of the senator from California, and it like rips her to shreds.
Seems like every time on American Dad when they have the Pentagon or officials come out to see a weapons demonstration, one of them dies. It's one of their running things.
Yeah.
Like the episode when Stan was driving the tank and ran over one of them.
Yeah. I think that what's his name who does that and Family Guy is very anti-gun, but he's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's anti-gun. He's sort of a lefty liberal, but oh well. It's entertaining.
But he also realizes the stupidity of everything.
Yeah. Which I get. Yeah. I mean, although I don't get how you realize the stupidity of everything and not be an anarchist.
Yeah.
I guess you stick with what pays, though. I mean, maybe it's just because it's easier to find an audience for something like that than it is for us.
Yeah, if he went anarchist, he'd lose most of his millions. Yeah.
I kind of feel that way about Jon Stewart, too. I feel like even if something clicks sometime, you know, maybe he's talking to Napolitano backstage, the good Napolitano judge, and he's like, huh, you know, maybe you're right. But I don't think he could change the whole format to where he'd be attacking the state all the time, at least not in one fell swoop. I hope it gradually goes market taking it there because his audience is more and more.
I think he'd lose his job because, Napolitano did. Mm,
that's true.
Glenn Beck did. Once Glenn Beck got away from the left-right thing and went to the there are overlords in Belgium controlling everything, he lost his job.
Yeah, he did. He did. Although he's still kind of righty in ways. I mean, he's so Israel first and, you know, I don't know. He sort of believes in a more efficient police state as long as it's his people in power, is how I still feel
about him. I'm surprised that Christians love Jews so much because didn't they kill their Lord? Didn't the Jews kill Christians' Lord?
Yeah. The Jews and the government.
Go, go, freedom fiends.
Freedom fiends.
Yeah, it was the Jews and the Romans. It was the Italians and the Jews.
It was the government.
Jesus was killed by the government, which is Mama Liberty says in our movie, and every Christian should realize that. Jesus was killed by the government, and it doesn't matter what government.
Maybe we should update it to fit with the whole bad Quaker state versus government thing, because it really was the state that killed Jesus.
Yeah.
It was people that thought they had the right to kill this guy because he was getting too much power.
It was kind of a state-sanctioned lynch mob. You know, it wasn't really an official – well, it kind of was. They had the blessing of the priests, the rabbis who didn't like Jesus challenging them. Yeah.
So if Jesus existed today, I'm sure he would have been droned by now.
Well, there's a Dead Kennedy song from about 20 years ago called Jesus Was a Terrorist, basically saying that.
Yeah, I see. So I guess there's nothing new under the sun. Tyranny's always been around and always will be.
So you wanted to read this description of a political ideology without saying what it is on page 5.
I did. Let me get to page 5 here, and I'll drop some mad science. All right, so I'm going to read it.
I'll drop some mad soda.
You try to think of what it is, audience out there. Okay, blank, 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 is a radical authoritarian nationalist political ideology. They seek rejuvenation of their nation based on commitment to an organic national community where its individuals are united together as one people in national identity by superpersonal connections of ancestry, culture, and blood through a totalitarian single-party state that seeks the mass mobilization of a nation through discipline, indoctrination, physical education, and eugenics. They seek to purify the nation of foreign influences that are deemed to be causing degeneration of the nation or of not fitting in to the national culture. They promote political violence and war as forms of direct action that create national regeneration, spirit, and vitality. They commonly utilize paramilitary organizations for violence against opponents or to overthrow a political system. They oppose multiple ideologies. Conservatism, liberalism, and two major forms of socialism, communism and social democracy. They claim to represent a synthesis of cohesive ideas previously divided between traditional political ideologies. To achieve its goals, the state purges forces, ideas, people, and systems deemed to be the cause of decadence and degeneration.
That sounds like it could describe everything from the Republicans to the Democrats to the DEA to the U.S. military to... what it really sounds to me like it's describing is kind of what I call the one-party system of America, which is really the you don't really have a choice anymore. It's what do we call it? The state religion.
That's or like even just the state. I think all of the state is encapsulated in this definition as well.
But what is it?
What
really?
It really is the Wikipedia definition of fascism. So this is the isn't it? That's where you got this from, right, Michael? Wikipedia. So this is the open source, commonly accepted through everybody's agreement through Wikipedia, or I guess they really have editors now, so I can't say that anymore. But this is the wiki definition of fascism.
Well, I know they have editors because they removed the Michael W. Dean article as non-notable, and it was up for 5 years. So they do have editors now.
And F them. But so yeah.
Which is funny because they still have the articles for $30 Film School, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, have survived the... So I'm a non-notable person who's written a notable book and directed two notable movies.
And do they not mention you on the movie and book?
No, they mention me.
There's no link to you.
There's no link to me, yeah. I'm fine with it. I don't care. I love Wikipedia.
Yeah. I do too. I love them. But
fuck them. I love them.
But yeah, when we were reading this, or when I was reading it, you know, I was thinking, hey, sounds like where I live now. Doesn't sound, I mean, none of this is, I mean, it's obviously a bunch of naughty things all in one paragraph or scary totalitarian things, but
yeah, I mean, it's basically a description of Stalin and Hitler, but it sounds like everything from Obama to Holder to
Romney.
Santorum to Bush to Nixon to the war on drugs. Yeah, you know?
It definitely does. So there you have it. When you call America a fascist state and people look at you funny, direct them to the Wikipedia entry for fascism and say, read that. What does that sound
America
like?
Is a fascist. I mean, I think that something they mentioned in passing here but really glossed over, the dictionary definition of fascism I've seen is a totalitarian state that, and this is an important part of fascism as opposed to other forms of totalitarianism, fascism is a government takeover of industry.
It's basically private ownership, but state control.
Right.
So the state picks right. who owns the means of production and then regulates it as such.
Solyndra.
Right, right. To where basically the costs General are socialized Electric. Among us. We pay for all of this, but the profits or the benefits are the politically connected.
You know, I saw an interesting kind of Occupy Wall Street definition of how the ultra rich benefit from government control in this country that I agreed with, was that giant corporations are the main benefactors of research that's paid for by the government. I mean, think about General Electric and like space research. I mean, I guess you could argue that we all benefit from space research because we end up with cell phones or whatever, but we don't really monetarily benefit from it. And a lot of things like NASA and other government giant jobs programs that spend our money to do things that produce a lot of research, the main benefactors of it are people like General Electric.
Yeah, it's people who get to do the research, get to benefit from holding the patents on things that are related to it. And in the end, even if they don't get any of those, they're the ones who know they're going to get the government contracts. So the government's going to give them the job of building whatever it is. And so they benefit.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, I don't know if it's a red herring or not, but you can't, I don't think we need the government and things like NASA to give us space research. I think if they opened it up and, and didn't tax very rich people as much as they do, the very rich people, if they spent all the money they now spend on taxes, if they decided to spend all that money on space research voluntarily, we'd be living on the moon now.
Well, Virgin Airlines is kind of taking that over as much as they can in our society. But, you know, I saw a really bizarre thing a while back, was that NASA had decided that their main agenda was to make Muslims feel better about themselves. Did you see that?
I did, but I didn't know how much I bought it. That was their main objective.
Somebody at NASA said that. I mean, that's something that Fox took right. and ran. But, you know, even that they said that their main objective is to make any single group of people feel better about themselves. Like, what does that have to do with what NASA was founded?
Maybe their plan was to get all the Muslims to like us so we can convince them to all go to the moon and leave us alone.
Or maybe they'll send a Muslim to the moon to get Muslims to be more Americanized and back the state.
Yeah.
I don't know. I look at America as a one-party system. I mean, that's kind of my takeaway from that whole fascism discussion.
Yeah, I agree completely. One-party system, the state party, and everybody believing in the state, and that's what really keeps us down.
So I think I'm going to call this episode Hookers, Ted Nugent, and Fascism.
Okay. Sounds like a healthy mix there, Michael. I will not object.
What else you got there, brother man? Or are we at the end of our thing?
I think we're at the end of our thing. My wife is texting me. I think she's hungry and wants to go to lunch.
Okay. All right. Well, have fun getting her pregnant. It's fun getting chick.
Lunch was not a euphemism there. We're literally going to eat
baby,
lunch.
I want to get you pregnant. It's fun. It's the one time I got someone, a couple times I got someone pregnant was fun.
Yes, I plan on this being fun.
It's I'm the blushing best kind now. Of sex. That's why Republicans think all other sex should be banned.
Why do you need the other sex when you can just make babies?
Ugh. All right. Good luck, man.
I'll okay.
Good luck. Good luck on your lunch.
Thank you, Michael. I'll need that luck. Bye.
Worms.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadati weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.